This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome in to the All Things Bama Podcast. I am your host, Mason Woods, and as always, I am joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. We are back today after missing last week, unfortunately. That's on me. We were a little bit of a different setup. We couldn't get into the Derek Daniels studio here, and I was busy the day. I had to get the animals to the vet that morning. It was a lot, so I just decided to we were going to push last week. So we are back today. Like I said, we got a lot of fun things to get into. I've got a ton of topics we can run through today. Obviously, we're going to have to touch on last night's preseason games. We just got done talking about them a bit on Joe's show. By the way, you need to go subscribe to that. Check it out. We're going to talk about Jalen Milroe's performance. I thought overall he was okay, but we will get into the nitty-gritty of it. Jahad Campbell also getting his first taste of NFL action. Eli Ricks getting involved, not necessarily a rookie, but just another Bama guy getting involved in the preseason action last night. Josh Jobe getting him an interception. I saw Darian Dalcourt on the field for the Ravens. All kinds of guys getting involved in the preseason games last night. We're going to talk about a couple other NFL stories. Will Anderson making the NFL top 100, Levi Wallace signing with the Jaguars this past week. We're going to look at the first 2 weeks of fall camp. Me and Joe both had the opportunity over the last couple weeks to get there and see it with our own eyes and experience the exciting nature of fall camp as we get closer and closer to the football season. And what would this show be without a little bit of recruiting news? So we will spend a bit of time there as well before we close things down today. But before we do any of that, I've got to tell you all to make sure you follow both myself and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_ and at JoeGaither6. Make sure you follow the show. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you get your podcast from, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. Make sure you also go follow the Joe Gaither Show, rate it 5 stars as well, so you can hear whatever we miss on this program. We just had a massive guest this past week on that show that you will absolutely not want to miss if you are an Alabama Crimson Tide fan, so make sure you go check it out. Joe, doing all right today?
Oh yeah, excited for the weekend. Excited for Alabama's first scrimmage tomorrow. It's been a good start to the month, and you know it ends really, really in style as Alabama takes on Florida State.
Yeah, simply hearing football on my television, like, it just warms my heart. Yeah, you know, I do feel bad because my poor lovely wife is not a huge fan of watching a lot of football. She'll watch Alabama with me. She'll sometimes even sit down and watch the Titans with me. But she's not one to watch a team that she's not really a fan of. And can't blame her one bit. She has no stake in the game. I just like watching football. But last night she comes home from a long day of work and I'm there watching football and she's like, oh, yeah, football's back, isn't it? And I'm like, oh, I can turn it on. And she's like, no, it's fine. I'll go watch another show, you know, whatever. So, you know, thankful to her. She let me watch some football last night and she's been watching the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders show.
Oh,
so it's football adjacent.
Yeah. Is it entertaining? Have you looked at it at all?
I've watched a handful of episodes with her.
Okay.
It's a show. It's certainly a TV show.
Is it just drama? Is it just reality?
It's just reality trash. And like it is moderately entertaining to a point because we're already getting off on such an incredible tangent to start this show.
Let's do it.
I already have never really understood the point of cheerleaders. And maybe that's just me. It's going to sound bad, but
we're trying to make the ladies feel involved.
Well, I'm not one who is sitting here and is like, you know, oh, look at these gorgeous ladies here in front of me. Oh, I'm watching them dance. Like, nothing that cheerleaders do
makes me feel awkward.
Makes me feel like, ooh, look at them. I got to see more. Like, they're just doing little cheers and things on the sidelines. It's just very strange to me how important the Dallas Cowboys specifically make their cheerleaders seem when in reality, like, I hate to be this blunt, but you have no effect on the outcome of the game. You have no effect on what people are actually there to see and what they actually care about. It's just strange how throughout that entire show, they really make it seem like it's life and death every situation when you're just cheerleaders. Most of you work jobs outside of this because this does not pay you enough to be your main gig. I don't know. The Dallas Cowboys cheerleader is not that important to me, but apparently to some people they are. So they've had, you know, I don't know. She's on like season 6 now. She's been watching it for 2 months.
Yeah, I don't think my Bears have shoe eaters.
I don't. As far as I know, the Titans do not either. I don't care. And it's cool and all in college. I guess I understand it a little more. You know, plus it gives people, I guess, an opportunity to maybe get scholarships and things if you are a cheerleader. That's great and that's fine and dandy. I just, as a fan of football, I could not care less about what the cheerleaders are doing. I think the only time that I even notice them is when they're on the field at halftime, because I have to see them because they're all that's there. Any other time, I'm watching the actual football game. So I don't know. Maybe I'm alone in that opinion, but I just never really cared about cheerleaders that much. But man, back to some of the actual Alabama topics. We'll start with last night's preseason games, as we're here on the NFL just a touch. And we'll start with what everybody's probably most curious about. One Mr. Jalen Milroe. Now, I fully expected going into Thursday evening that he would be starting this game because I just forgot that Drew Lock existed.
Right.
But yeah, I was upset to see. I was upset to have to watch two quarters of Drew Lock football. That was not very fun. Don't make me do that again, Seahawks. Just, I don't even understand the point. Like, Drew Lock has been in the NFL long enough to know what he is. He's not getting better. He's not really getting worse. He's a serviceable backup quarterback. Just let him be that. Just, you got an exciting rookie with a chance to maybe learn some things. I don't understand why you wouldn't have just thrown him out there the whole game. But anyway, Jalen Milroe got the second half start, and I think his first like four plays were a pretty perfect example of him as a player. I think the first one was a handoff. I think he scrambled out for maybe it was a design run for 3, 4, 5, 6 yards, completed a pass for a couple yards, and then his next pass attempt was a near interception, and they went off the field for the punt after that. But I think from there he locked in okay. We just kind of got done talking about it on your show. I think the best I can say about his performance is that he was fine. Just fine. You know, right about a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that what we saw last night was the coaching staff encouraging him not to hold on to the football, be decisive.
Yeah.
And he was. He was that.
Yeah, made a lot of quick throws.
But, 6 for 10 for 61 yards. Nothing down the field, really. He did hit a pass into the second level on a rollout, but the rest of it was 3 yards, 4 yards, 8 yards, less. Yep. And so that second level pass got him back up to 10 yards per completion.
Yeah. Had a couple nice little runs. Like I said, one big run late in the fourth quarter. Seahawks were backed up in their own territory, and he kind of gets a little read option out to the right, pulls it from his running back, and takes off for about, scampered for 25, 30 yards or so, and that was the biggest chunk of his rushing total from the night. Everything else was kind of short, 3, 4, 5, 6 yard gains. I think the thing that I noticed much, and I'm just repeating kind of what I said this morning to you already, but you definitely noticed how his speed is not as impactful as it maybe was in college. Guys are just faster in the NFL. That margin where he is, this much faster than everybody else is a lot smaller in the NFL. Guys were able to trip him up on his way out of the pocket when he was kind of stepping up, trying to gain some yardage on with his feet. You see defensive linemen, defensive ends kind of diving at his legs, swiping at his ankles, slowing him down just enough to where he can't, get to the second level really and get an extra 8 to 10 yards. It's more like 5 to 6. So, I noticed that a little bit. But again, I was, I'll say, moderately encouraged by the steps I saw just from his last start at Alabama. He wasn't doing the foot thing that we've talked about a lot, where he was misaligning his feet depending on whether it was a run or a pass play. I'm sure that was the first thing that he was beat into his brain once he got to camp at Seahawks. I'm sure they made him watch a compilation of him just doing it over and over again to ensure that he does not do it again. But yeah, Robbie Oates got involved also. Big catch in the first half. It was like pretty early in the game. It was like one of the, maybe in the first drive, I think. Nice reception, lowered his shoulder, and the guy made the tackle. But he sent this poor safety to the shadow realm. I don't know who the guy was. I don't know what his future is with the Raiders. But I tell you what, I feel bad for him if he's a guy trying to make this team, because you had to come across Robbie Oates on Thursday evening, and it was not a good time for you. He like I said, sent him to the ether. It was tough. But good game for Robbie Oates. Had a nice block on a touchdown. Probably. I imagine going to be very well loved in Seattle. I think those fans will enjoy the type of player he is. I think the franchise obviously will enjoy the type of player he is. I'm excited about what I see from Robbie Oates. the whole sideline, like every time he did anything, was just jumping up and down, super hyped for him. So he's very clearly already become a big part of the culture there, I guess. Let's see what else. Who else is in action? Oh yeah, obviously Jahad Campbell. Got to mention him. The other Alabama rookie that was in action last night. Did not really do much. I don't have a lot to say about his performance. I think he played in the first quarter. Don't know how much I remember seeing of him after that. A couple got in on some tackles, a couple assisted tackles. I think he almost had an interception on a tipped pass. Couldn't quite grab it. Couldn't quite reel it in. But, you know, not anything similar to Jalen Milroe. It was fine. It was not anything to be concerned about, certainly, but it was not. He didn't like go out there and get two or three sacks and an interception or anything like that. He looked like about what you would expect him to in very limited snaps. Didn't see Cameron Latu for the Eagles. Didn't show up in the stat book. Only recall really noticing him on the sideline. Not sure kind of what his thing is there. In reading about Cameron Latu last night, I discovered that 49ers fans hate him. Apparently.
Oh, because he was with them and then left? Or
yes, because and this was like two or three things that I read. So I might be painting a wide brush or painting with a wide brush here. But like I read it was from a moderately reputable place, an article about Cameron Latu's exit from the 49ers, and it was like 300 words about how bad and horrible he was throughout, from the moment he was drafted, throughout his first camp, throughout his first season. He was just bad. And it was like, okay, this is really weird. Why are you so like personally affected by Cameron? And then like at the very end, he throws in a quote from, I'm pretty sure it was the GM, talking about, well, Cam's a great player. He's been injured basically the whole time he's been here. It was just like, what is this opinion? So I don't know if something happened with Cameron Latu and 49ers fans, but it does not seem like he's well-liked. You know, I took to Reddit to try to find out what the actual fans were thinking, and a lot of them also were just like, yeah, he sucks. I don't know. So I don't know what's going on with Cameron Latu. Hopefully he is figuring it out in Philadelphia and maybe finding himself a role there, because I don't know. It's soured in San Francisco, I guess.
Well, that stinks. I hope that he can carve it out with the Eagles. Maybe they were expecting him to emerge as the next George Kittle or something.
Also, he was a third-round pick, yeah. So that's probably part of it as well. You know, your team throws a third-round pick at a guy who barely even sees the field. You're going to be a little mad about that. Third-round picks are valuable in the NFL.
But tight end is just such a tough position to really assimilate to, I think. And if you're hurt, you're hurt.
Yeah, it just is what it is. I don't know. It was very strange. I was surprised at the vitriol I saw on some of these posts. It was just like, I don't think any of this was his fault.
Was he a great tight end here at Alabama? He was good.
He was
that
okay.
Year.
He was solid. You know, I think if I remember right, he was like projected as like a fifth, sixth round guy.
He was good that last year with Bryce, but like,
not a world beater.
This was a guy who went from outside linebacker to outside linebacker to tight end, like back and forth during his time in Tuscaloosa.
I think he was always more of a project guy. He was like, this guy's a really good athlete. We just got to figure out how we can use him the best. And I don't know that anybody has up to this point. But, like I said, didn't really get involved last night. Was on the sideline hyping his guys up. He was playing. He was suited up. I didn't see him really get involved. Eli Ricks did get involved, though. Got himself a nice pass breakup. And like Jahad Campbell, almost had an interception. His was not off a tip pass. His was actually, he just made a really nice play on the ball, but just couldn't quite reel it in. As for Ravens, Colts, you know, obviously Derrick Henry, Marlon Humphrey, both on the sideline, not going to be playing. Jalen Armour Davis was getting involved in the game, made a few plays. I remember him having some tackles. I think he had a pass breakup as well. I saw Darian Dalcourt, you know, played offensive guard. Not a whole lot you can take away from his performance. I think he got a handful of drives there at the end. He's like the third string guy there, so he's not really going to be a huge difference maker, but a depth piece nonetheless. And that was really it for the Bama guys as far as preseason action goes last night. You know, not a ton of world-breaking or breaking news, not a ton of earth-shattering stories out of the first night of preseason games. What I feel was the actual first night of preseason games. I don't think the Hall of Fame game should even really count because it's so, like, weird and on its by itself that it should just be this strange kind of exhibition game. We all treated it like that. But I do have a couple more NFL stories to touch on from the last couple weeks. Our friend Hunter DeCiver wrote about it just the other day. Will Anderson Jr. becoming the fourth former Alabama player on this year's NFL 100 list, joining Tua Tagovailoa at 91, Quinnen Williams at 87, Jerry Jeudy at 82. Will Anderson, of course, I didn't actually have it down. where he came in at. I think it was in the 70s. Way higher than I thought. 46. So, yeah. Is that too high?
Will Anderson, 46?
That's too high.
No, he had a good year last year.
He had a good 1 year, and now he's a top 50 player in the NFL.
Well, he was a stud. Let's find it. Let's see.
He had 10 tackles for loss, I think 9 sacks, 7 sacks maybe, 40 tackles.
Had a game plan for him. Let's see. Okay, there we go. Was it
45 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 7 sacks.
Year? No, he's had 2 years now.
No, it was his rookie year. He's defense rookie of the year last year.
No. He's had two. Defensive rookie of the year in 23. He was 20 in 24. So
oh,
in
yes.
2 years, he has 18 sacks. It was 11 sacks last year.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's fine. I don't know why in my head I was thinking last year was his rookie year. I don't know where I got that
yeah,
from.
Yeah, he and Baby Bryce are on the same track.
That'll give you then. I'll pump the brakes.
16 tackles
on
for a loss, 19 quarterback hits. He was
I think you've that's fair. He's proven it. I don't know why in my head I was thinking that was his rookie year last year. I guess I just misread something.
But yeah, as a rookie, 7 sacks.
Yeah.
As a rookie, 7 sacks with 10 tackles for a loss. Maybe your Google, your AI just messed you up probably.
Wouldn't be surprising.
Honestly.
But yeah. But so yeah, that's fine.
In 14 games last year. So he missed three mm-hmm. games and still had double digit sacks.
All right. I think that's fair then. I think he belongs probably. He's in an appropriate spot on that list. But I mean, here we are with, let's see, this was, what day was this? This was just yesterday. So we're at 45 today. We got 45 spots left. How many more of those are Bama guys? Cause like, I just kind of did an exercise sitting here running through a list in my head, and I've got 14 guys that I think could maybe all be in the top 100 somewhere. Now, some of these guys I think we've already surpassed where they would land, but I don't know. Obviously, Derrick Henry, Pat Surtain. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is probably still on this list somewhere. Josh Jacobs is probably still on this list somewhere. Jalen Hurts probably still on this list somewhere. Trevon Diggs. Jalen Waddle? Is Jalen Waddle a top 50 player in the NFL?
Maybe, but didn't he get hurt last year?
I think he did get hurt last year, so that'll probably hurt him. Landon Dickerson? I mean, I think Landon Dickerson is one of the best centers in the NFL. Is he a top 45 guy, top 50 guy? Devontae Smith? Man, I don't know. There's probably like 8 more guys or so in this top 45 for Alabama. Putting you at 12 total in the top 100. I don't know I haven't looked at what everybody else has, but I cannot imagine there's many programs with more players in the top 100 than that.
I think that Jalen's going to be really high. Hurts is going to be
really
high.
He'll be like 5.
Right.
Derrick Henry will be high.
Yeah.
He'll be top 10. Jahmyr. Where's Jahmyr going to be?
I think Jahmyr will be in the 30s. I think he'll pop up in the 30s.
I think Jameson Williams makes the cut.
He did clear 1,000 yards last year.
Mm-hmm. Calvin Ridley?
Nah.
Calvin Ridley cleared 1,000 yards.
Did he? Okay, great.
I believe he did.
I'm not watching any Titans, so you would know.
Yeah, 1,000 yards last year with God knows who's a literal garbage can throwing him the football. I don't know. It's interesting. I think you could absolutely end up with easily double-digit guys on this list, if not, you know, pushing to like 12, 14, 15, somewhere around there. Another NFL story from the week, Levi Wallace signing with the Jaguars. Not really anything else other than that. Not sure what his role is going to be. I do think the Jaguars need some help in the secondary. I don't think Travis Hunter is going to be able to do it all himself this year. They did come out and say that he's going to be playing both ways in their preseason opener, so we'll see what that looks like. But that's all I have, I think, from the NFL. We can move now into fall camp, really the juiciest stuff from the last 2 weeks. And I want to ask you, Joe, since you had the chance to see the field a little bit more than I did. I was only there for the one day last Saturday. If you have any, what would you say is like your main, you know, main 1, 2, or 3 takeaways from this past week and a half, week and change from fall camp?
Okay, my biggest takeaway is what's going on with the offensive line, Jaden Roberts being bantied about on the second team or first team. And not really that I think that Jaden is not going to start still, because I think that there's still 13 more fall camp practices and then a full game week for Florida State week. So, like, what, three more weeks until we play Florida State. I think Jaden Roberts is still going to start against Florida State. But I think that what I'm taking away from this is a general attitude from the coaching staff of, hey, last year doesn't matter. Your status on the team doesn't matter. Last year, your status on the team going into the year doesn't matter. You got to show up and prove it every day. And not that I've heard bad things about Jaden. I don't want to put that out there on the show. But I maybe have just heard that he's not been playing with the same edge, per se. And maybe he's just a game day player, right? But I think that the coaching staff is taking a shift from, hey, you know, we just want everybody to get along and stay with the team last year. You know, stay together, band together, you know, lean on the leaders.
Is game day player, is that a real thing? Like, I know we hear that concept of guys who are like, well, you know, this guy, he shows up for game days and maybe not the most practice. Is that just like code for just, no, he's just lazy?
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
No, because the adrenaline that I mean, this goes back to
that's fair.
Average Andy athlete over here.
I mean, though, even like covering those games, you feel that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was an okay high school player. I was not a star by any means, but I know that I was stronger on game days.
That is fair.
That I was a little faster on game days.
There is a certain juice about it that you maybe don't have throughout the week. Right.
And, I mean, I tried to always be on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I was lazy. Maybe. But I don't think so. But all that to say is I think that the coaching staff is keeping everybody's nose on the grindstone. And, hey, buddy, if your nose isn't on the grindstone, you can get the bleep out. So that's my biggest takeaway really right now is what's going on with the offensive line, because I think that you're seeing Cam Dewberry, Parker, and Gino Vandermeer kind of man this interior three left to right, and then maybe Gino supplants Cam Dewberry and Jaden gets his spot back. But really I think that between Cam, Gino, and Jaden Roberts, they're going to say whichever – two of you is the nastiest, you know, mother trucker mm-hmm. that we've got is gonna play.
I think you have to feel good about any of those.
Yeah,
any combination of two of those guys.
Yeah. Also on Wednesday when we were out there, you had Casey Poe playing like your sixth offensive lineman, like your
Kendall Randolph.
Yes, and you know we've talked about blocking tight end. Mm-hmm. A lot this year about who's going to be the blocking tight end, who's going to, you know, and maybe it is one of these sophomores that came here as a little bit lower rated prospects and maybe a hair undersized. Maybe it is going to be, because we heard William Sanders did it in the spring.
Yeah.
Now, William did it in the spring because you were basically out of bodies at tight end. But maybe that has opened them up to say, hey, you know, maybe one of these William Sanders or Casey Poe types can play this sixth, you know, this third tackle, this sixth offensive lineman, this first blocking tight end role. So I think that's pretty interesting to see. Golly, you look at these defensive backs and they're aliens. They are aliens out there. And Bray Hubbard might be the baddest one, but Bray Hubbard looks like the most normal guy out there. Bray and really Keon Sab isn't muscles on muscles either, but your corners are just long, filled out body types, smooth hips. I'm really impressed with the defensive backs from a physical standpoint. And then Rico Scott, golly. You want to talk about muscles on muscles on muscles on muscles on muscles. Rico Scott is Rico Scott looks like you.
He's like Tyreek Hill.
Yes. He looks like he's about to go into the Arnold Schwarzenegger, yes. the bodybuilding competition.
Like he's just one big muscle. Like I don't remember who it was one time, but I heard somebody talking about, you know, it's been a couple years since Tyreek Hill was like at his peak in the NFL. He didn't have a great season last year, you know. But when he was just like every week, it's like, oh, Tua just lobs it up to Tyreek for three or four bombs every game. Like somebody was talking about how he just acts like one big hamstring. He just loads up at the beginning of the play and then releases as soon as the ball is snapped. And boom, he's 40 yards down the field before you even know it. Like that's what Rico Scott, I feel like, is going to be this year. But you mentioned Dejon Lee. Like everybody had something to say about Dejon Lee. Almost anybody that was at, you know, any of these players that were at the media day this past week, or even guys talking after practices, like speaking about Dejon Lee, everybody is extremely, extremely high on him. You know, Damani Jackson was talking about how in meeting rooms now he's able to really pick out what everybody's doing. He's learning the ropes there. He said he's going to be a hell of a player. Xavien Brown also talked about him a lot, saying, you know, mentioning how the game is kind of slowing down for him and he's making a lot of plays, you know, before the snap happens in his head and then kind of being able to do it after the snap happens rather than just reacting and having to play instinctually. I mean, Jeremy Bernard talked about him too. Talked about the length, obviously, being a main factor there. But then I think he talked about, you know, just how he has improved even in the time he's been on campus, like shows him a lot that he's going to be a really, really good player. So I'm excited about Dejon Lee as well. All of those guys, though, like you said, they are aliens in that defensive back room.
So I think it's going to be really tough to throw on Alabama. It's going to be really tough to throw on Alabama, especially if you can get a quality pass rush. Last year, the pass rush was pooey, largely. Now, a couple times in spurts, but not so good, especially from an Alabama standpoint.
Yeah, on a whole, it was D tier.
Yeah, so we saw these defensive linemen. We've seen them throwing the sleds around. Great. But, you know, and they all look like Tarzan, but are they going to play like Jane? Like, what are they going to do when the lights come on? Will the James Smith, is he really going to take the step forward that I expect him to? Because I do expect him to. Does Tim Keenan really have that much more room to grow? I don't know. I think he was a... I think he's been as close to his ceiling as a player as he's probably gonna get. So what else do you got? Does LT, is he going to finish the plays where he got quarterback pressures last year? Because you get quarterback pressures, he slides and makes a 4-yard completion. Well, doesn't matter, buddy. I think the defensive line has a real big, not question mark, but has a real big. What's the right way to say it? That's a real big way.
I think the overall perception of the defense just weighs a lot on how they play.
Yes.
Because, like, if they play bad, it's going to make the rest of the defense look bad, even if it isn't necessarily. Because, I mean, I'll tell you right now, I don't think there's a world that exists where this defensive back room is bad. But if you get bad play up front, you get guy, you know, you can't get any pressure, like that will compound on itself and it will make the rest of the defense look bad as a result. What else from fall camp? I got to get out there last Saturday, saw Lotsier Brooks in the walking boot then. He was wearing the black non-contact jersey working on the bike. He has since removed the walking boot, but as I understand it, has not returned to the actual practice field, just kind of working off to the sideline with trainers and things. Seems like some sort of lower extremity injury. We're not privy to what exactly it is, but it doesn't seem that serious. You mentioned the defensive line moving those sleds. It's like a gunshot when they hit those sleds.
Ka-doom,
ka-doom. It's crazy. And they are just sleds. So, you know, none of it really means anything. But just the way those guys throw those things around is very, very impressive. We haven't really gotten much quarterback information, obviously. I think that's by design, but I am going to steal a little bit from our friend Will Miller, who did write some very lovely Austin Mack propaganda on the Bama Central site, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. I love this headline. Strong arm in tow, Austin Mack making presence felt in quarterback battle. Don't forget about Austin Mack. The camp is still alive and well. We may not have running water. We may not have electricity. We may not even have a consistent source of food. But you know what? We just learned how to grow some plants. We're going to have some rice and some grain bowls. You know, no protein yet, but we're getting there. We're taking baby steps. Austin Mack, I still think, is very much in this quarterback battle. And according to, you know, our friend Will Miller here, who's writing on, like I said, on Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, he says, Jeremy Bernard tells us that Austin Mack gets up at 4:30 a.m. to be one of the first people into the practice facility every morning. I don't hear that about Ty Simpson. Don't hear that about Keelan Russell. Quote, just the time that he puts into the game, it's ridiculous, Bernard said on Monday at the team's media day. He's putting in the time. He's doing everything that it takes to be a great quarterback. I just commend him for that.
Hey, man, big old gun, trebuchet.
Man.
The height.
What did Grubb say? He's got a howitzer.
Sling the trebuchet. You know, the old medieval weapon that was like on a big old long rope.
Yeah, with a big counterweight. Yeah. Oh, yeah, those things are awesome. Yeah, that's what we're looking at with Austin Mack. I know obviously we've talked about it, but I do think it has maybe gotten lost in the shuffle just a little bit that, like, Grubb was probably at least a decent part of Mack's recruitment.
Yes.
So he has probably a decent amount of personal investment in ensuring that he is successful as a quarterback, and I'm sure that weighs into some parts of his decision-making just a little bit. I don't think it's crazy to think that, you know, alternate universe, Nick Saban doesn't retire, Kalen DeBoer stays at Washington, they all stay intact. Like, Austin Mack throws for 3,500 yards and 24 touchdowns last year. I don't think it's all that crazy. So I don't know. I just don't think he's out of it. People want to turn this into the Ty Simpson, Keelan Russell battle, but I don't think Austin Mack is out of it. Maybe I'm crazy.
Well, I mean, Saturday's going to be a huge day. If Ty looks average and Keelan and Austin look better than average or look dynamic and have a couple of plays, like, Saturday's going to be a huge day for everyone because of the scrimmage, the live factor. But it's an even really bigger day for the quarterbacks because, you know, it'll be your first chance to, can you move the offense down the field? There's going to be chains on the sideline. You've got to be in the huddle. Get them in and out of the huddle. Get to the line of scrimmage. Diagnose the defense. How do you really operate? And if Ty opens the door, I mean, that's really where we're at here, is in spring and in the summer and walking into fall camp, it's, well, if the season starts today, then Ty Simpson's a starter. Well, this first week, they only put pads on starting Wednesday,
yeah.
Right? So you had last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, right? So four acclimation days, and then Tuesday's still kind of an acclimation day. So you really had five acclimation days, and now you have started with pads. Now you've started with live fire. Really, every day that we were out there except for Wednesday, they were in shells, yeah. And so the contact was extremely minimal, and you're throwing passes on air, against air, not against real. Now, granted, we only saw the 15 minutes. They could have brought DBs over there. But for the time that we're over there, the DBs aren't even over there. So it's just, hey, man, can you hit a slant route? Sweet. Can you hit a post route? Sweet. Can you hit an out route? Sweet.
You'd be hard pressed to find a Division I quarterback that doesn't look good in practice.
In that early portion of practice with not a DB on the field.
Everybody can look good there.
Yes. And it's like, oh, you can hit the crosser. The guy's going over the middle. Whoop, hit the crosser.
Yeah.
Maybe the ball is a little behind. Maybe the ball is a little high. Maybe the ball is a little in front of you. But
you
all you're seeing is completions. And so Saturday, I think, becomes really the official final chapter of this quarterback competition. And I think that where they left it was, well, we're leaving the door wide open for these other two. We'll see if they push Ty along, if they surpass Ty.
Yeah, I think, if we're looking at it like, you know, analogy of the door here, I think Ty has walked through the doorway, but it is still wide open behind him, and the other two guys are inching closer and closer. We will find out a lot more tomorrow at the tomorrow's scrimmage. Obviously, we will not be in attendance unless we can maybe figure out a way to get a camera on the inside. Maybe we get a man on the inside. We got to, you know what we got to do? We got to send somebody in with those new Ray-Ban, the recording glasses,
oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. We got to get on that. But, you know, until we get some information tomorrow, hopefully from the scrimmage, we will just have to speculate on what's going to happen. And I think, I don't know, I'm excited. I'll say that. I think we will hear some, like you said, some encouraging things about the quarterbacks, some encouraging things about these receivers. I'm excited to find out how they play tomorrow. That's really all I have from fall camp. Unless you have anything else that you want to get into, we can move to just a couple recruiting stories that I had from this past week. I wrote about it yesterday, and I don't even know that you can necessarily call this a recruiting story so much as it is a story about some recruits. Two 2026 Alabama commits, 5 stars, Xavier Griffin and Jordan Edmonds were named to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Super 11 list, which is a list they've been doing, I think, since 1985. Every year, it's the 11 best high school football players in the state of Georgia. So pretty telling to me that, you know, the two highest ranked guys on the list, mind you, are Alabama commits right in Kirby's backyard. Like Jordan Edmonds, Xavier Griffin are number 1 and 2 in the state of Georgia, both going to Alabama, both right out of Georgia's backyard. Man, it's, you know, if you're Kalen DeBoer, the whole thing that we heard, you know, he won't be able to recruit the South. He won't have these relationships. Well, you know, you just went right into Georgia and pluck some of the top talent from it. So I think you're in a good spot on the recruiting trail, and obviously happy to see those guys get their recognition. I think they're both very, very deserving of it.
Oh, yeah. Imagine having two of those guys on your same roster, on your same defense. Like, yeah, that's going to be some challenge offensive game planning.
And then the little bit less fortunate news, Alabama misses out last week on the top in-state, top Alabama prospect, Tank Jones, who is taking his talents to the West Coast, going to play with the old Oregon Ducks, him and Dan Lanning linking up. Can't say I'm overly surprised. I think this is something we kind of knew going into the commitment day. We had talked about it, you know, the shows leading up to it on your show there. So not shocked. I wish all the best to him. I'm sure he'll be a great player. I'm sure Oregon is paying him handsomely, but more power to him. He probably set his family up very well, and I still think he's going to be a great player. You know, to anybody that thinks that he is skipping out on competition or anything, you're crazy. Like, he was choosing between two programs that are at the peak of college football, and he just chose one over the other one. It's not like he didn't make some decision to avoid contact or anything like that, or avoid competition. He is still very much going to be competing with the Oregon Ducks. Do have a little bit of basketball news as well, probably the last thing that we can get into today before we shut it down. Alabama was named a finalist this past week for 4-star guard Colbin Landrieu, set to be in Tuscaloosa on October 18th. I believe that's going to be the weekend of the Tennessee game. He's going to be here with another 4-star player, Cole Clower, a forward in the 26th class. Let's see about Colbin Landrieu here. Like I said, 4-star guard. He included his other finalists were Alabama, Auburn, Texas. He gave us a top 10. I hate the top 10s. But it's Auburn, Texas, Georgia, Louisville, UConn, Purdue, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. My man said, what's the top 25? Yeah, I'll just pick 10 teams off of there and put them on my graphic. But that's okay. 6'6", 210 pounds, extremely lengthy guard. The number 9 guard in the nation, the number 2 player in the state, according to Rivals. He's originally from Alabaster. He currently suits up for Wheeler High School in Marietta, Georgia. He transferred ahead of his junior year. But like I said, super long guard prospect. He's seen a pretty big rise in the last few months. He also used to play wide receiver, so I think that gives him a certain physical edge that maybe a lot of other players do not have in this class. He is really relentless at the basket. I was watching his highlights. Like, once he drives, like, he's going to score. Whether it's off that first, you know, whether it's off that first put up, if it's not, like, he's going to fight for the rebound, he's going to get it, he's going to put it back up. I saw several different clips of him doing exactly that, driving to the lane on a tough contested layup, missing it, getting his own rebound, putting it back up for the two. So I think he's a good player. You know, we'll obviously find out more about his recruitment as it goes on. Nothing really super... not confirming anything one way or the other. It's very early in his recruitment, I'm trying to say. So don't get your hopes up one way or the other, Alabama fans. Just make note that he will be here this fall. We'll be here for Alabama's showdown with Tennessee. Hopefully he'll,
there we go.
Hopefully it'll be a good weekend.
That's a good weekend to come. It's going to be rowdy.
Yeah.
It's going to be rowdy, and old Joey Aguilar are going to see if he can shoot. We found out at SEC Media Days I mean, we didn't find out, but we researched it and determined. I think, did Theo say it's been since 2003 that Tennessee hasn't won here in Tuscaloosa?
I'm pulling up the Wikipedia page now.
Right. Now, obviously, Coach Saban's streak started in 07, and then it was broken. You know, we lost two in a row up there in Knoxville. But I'm pretty sure that Theo told me since 2003. So 07, and then you go backwards, 05 and 03.
Looks like 03.
That was their last win in Tuscaloosa?
Mm-hmm.
Man, at least you still got that streak going on. I know Tennessee broke the, 17 or so year in a row. Streak.
Still got that one.
But I sure hope that, we know how I feel about Tennessee.
I think it will continue this year. I'll say that. I'm not buying the Joey Aguilar hype that a lot of people are trying to sell me. I'm not sold on this year's Tennessee team.
No, I don't get that. I don't get that at all.
But that's all I got for today. Oh, I do want to mention, we didn't get to mention on your show. I just saw it right before we started doing this. It is Wimp Sanderson's 88th birthday.
Happy birthday,
Coach. We love you. It was a joy to get to work with you for the time that I did. I had a lot of fun being the producer of your radio show, and I doubt that you're listening to this, but if by some strange chance of fate you are, I'm very glad that I got the opportunity to do that. So happy birthday to you, Coach Sanderson.
Absolutely. The Sanderson family really helped me through tough times, and Coach was, a lot of people have this perception of Coach as being a hard man, and in some ways he is, but when I was going through a hard time, he called me pretty free. You okay, Joe? What's going on? He called me pretty free and showed me a lot of kindness. And 88 years old, and I bet you, I bet he could still run a basketball practice.
That man's tough to kill.
Yeah, I bet he could still run a basketball practice. Coach O's, you ever need a day off?
Call him up.
Call him up and just sit in the top of Coleman Coliseum and watch him work your boys.
Yeah, I bet he didn't. He would just enter like flow state. Eyes roll back. It'd all come back to him like he was 35 again.
Absolutely. Oh, it'd be so amazing. It'd be amazing.
I'm dying for them to do a one-off plaid court design and have a Wimp Sanderson night. Hand out some plaid t-shirts or something, lay them out over the chairs. Like, that would be awesome. I would love to see something like that happen in Coleman Coliseum. But yeah, that's all we got for today. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Want to remind you again to all follow myself and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_ and at JoeGaither6. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast from. Make sure you also subscribe to the Joe Gaither Show. Like I said, go check out the big guest we had this week. You will not want to miss it. We will be back next Friday to talk to you about some more Crimson Tide news on the All Things Bama podcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.